Welcome to today's episode of On the Rocks, where I'm really excited to introduce you to Julia Suter, the CEO of LDES Council. Julia is a strategic executive of over 20 years of expertise in the energy and environmental sectors as both a coalition builder and an advocate. As CEO of the Long Duration Energy Storage Council, or LDES Council, Julia leads strategy and vision to enable the advancement of long-duration energy storage to the center stage of the energy transition worldwide. She currently serves as the chair of the Global Renewables Alliance, of which the LDES Council is a founding member. She and her team lead the education and outreach of both emerging and existing long-duration energy storage technologies, focusing on how LDES is essential to grid reliability and meeting climate goals. She's worn many hats over the life of her career as an entrepreneur, regulator, policy wonk, developer, coalition builder, transmission planner, and strategic consultant. With that, pour a glass or pour a cup, and let's dive in. Julia, I'm really excited to have you here on the rocks. Welcome back from COP. First of all, I know you've been traveling and super busy lately. Before we dive into that, I wanted to kind of kick it off and ask if you could give us an overview of long duration energy storage, or LDES, which hopefully I'm going to call it LDES from here on out because I keep getting it wrong when I say it. But can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what that is, first of all?
No, thanks, Emily. It's great to see you again and look forward to working with you and in my industry in 2024 and beyond. Because long duration energy storage is critical to decarbonization globally, locally, and regionally. And we're working to really empower different technologies and customers and utilities and developers, financiers, to better understand this 8 terawatt by 2040 need and this USD $4 trillion marketplace. What we're doing is the LDES Council is bringing together this ecosystem to promote the value add of long duration energy storage, which it can be 10 hours, it could be days, it could be weeks, it can be seasonal storage. And this can be provided in whether it's thermal energy storage, which you can have heat or clean electricity provided by rocks, salts, minerals, recycled aluminum, cement, graphite. And there's other, and it's really inexpensive and very cost effective today and deployed around the world. And you also have electrochemical, so different types of flow batteries, anodes, aqueous batteries, different types of long duration storage that are not lithium ion because it's short duration, but different, everything else on the periodic table that's not lithium ion. And so all these different minerals that are really important, zinc, vanadium, magnesium, going through the, council, going through the whole periodic table of what we need to have for these 20-year life assets and longer. And then there's chemicals, so hydrogen, ammonia, and then there's also mechanical. So building on the experience of pumped hydro, compressed air, liquid air. So this diversity of long duration storage is really important for different parts of the world, different geographies. And then you have the diversity of durations that really help address different economic needs.
So when you say you're saying anything for 10 hours above, is that how it's quantified? Okay. So if someone's my cell phone will last for longer than 10 hours. So that's not what you're talking about. Right.
So it does say that you're relying on solar and wind and you have excess solar and you want to store it. Well, you can store the solar for 10 hours plus. You can store it for 24. You can store it for 100 hours. You can store the solar in the summer and use it for heating or cooling in the winter. Mm-hmm. And so you have that flexibility, which is so important for this grid that and this infrastructure we're moving towards that is decarbonizing. If we're going to rely on a lot of renewable energy to power and heat our businesses and our homes, then we need to have this energy shifting flexibility that long duration energy storage provides.
And explain to me a little bit about how your organization came about then with the need to focus on this.
Sure. So the diverse technologies working with customers and financiers and equipment manufacturers all decided that there wasn't enough knowledge and education awareness about the important role of long-duration energy storage. And so really wanted to bring awareness to this expansive marketplace and that so many industrial sectors really need long-duration to be part of the transition. The cost savings that are here, you can get $540 billion a year in U.S. dollars with long-duration energy storage. And the fact that this is just an essential part of decarbonizing because it gives you the flexibility, the security, and the reliability of clean power, firm power, reliable power with LDES. So this group came together, promoted the economic interests, the whole ecosystem, and really demonstrate as a nonprofit with global reach that we're really trying to amplify the message of the important role of key data finance and experience and expertise that LDES is available today. There are markets that are already incorporating the value of LDES. We just need to expand it and scale it.
Because that's one of the big criticisms that folks say about like wind and solar, right? Is that it's unreliable. How do you store it? So you can, and I think maybe folks that aren't familiar with it, it might even just be a new concept that basically like power expires, right? Like, I mean, you have to put it somewhere, right? And like these different technologies affect how long you can store that power and then put it back into where you're looking to use it.
Right. And we can do power, heat, and hydrogen. So we have massive amounts of storage today in the form of oil and gas, but moving that into massive amounts of storage, renewable energy, because we have the LDES. Mm-hmm. Long duration storage can replace backup diesel generators. It can replace natural gas plants. It can replace coal plants. And you get that baseload that you need that is with firm power or firm heat.
Very cool. And so kind of where does the mining industry fit in? I'm sure it's kind of in two ways. The mining industry could be a user of this type of energy storage, but we're also hopefully the industry that will be supplying the materials that make that storage possible, right? So we're kind of on the
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. No, it's wonderful that we have mining members in LDES Council and their leadership and proactiveness to really show how critical long duration energy storage is needed to decarbonize the industry itself are wonderful examples. And their leadership is helping push the conversation forward of what is needed for existing infrastructure. If you're moving towards hydrogen fuel or even electric vehicles, how are you going to charge them and make sure they're all charged when you need them, not just every 2 hours, but 10 hours and 24 hours, looking at the different drilling and the different types of materials, whether it's kilns or all the different kind of attributes of drilling and blasting, ventilation. LDES can help in a variety of these ways and provide excess heat. There's also different ways that the mining industry can really benefit by if they're even a remote system but attached to a grid, how they can even sell excess heat or energy back to the system and provide additional firmness, which is really important for different picking hours. So I think it's really addressing a lot of the key issues of reliability around the world and being able to be a perfect case example. We just published a report called Driving Net Zero Industry with Long Duration Energy Storage, and we highlighted with our members a couple of different case studies, and one in particular was Australia Mine, where we really promoted what are the cost savings, what are the emissions reductions. And so it was really fascinating to see that we could, when you bring LDES paired with renewable energy, you can bring down emissions by 65%. And then when you look at the Australia mining, if the example was, and this is an existing mine today, so it was a $3 billion US dollars OPEX over 20 years. And so, and 28 million gallons of diesel. But if you then bring in long duration storage, you save 76% in OPEX costs. And you can also reduce emissions to the price point. Or if you look at this, of the savings, over $600 a ton of carbon abatement. So you're getting a huge amount of savings with your OPEX. You're improving CAPEX because you have clean sources and just something that's very efficient and cost effective. And you're also getting huge credits on your greenhouse gas reductions.
Where do those OPEX cost reductions come from? Like, how does that work?
It's working from, you're replacing the backup diesel generators.
Oh,
you don't have the fuel costs because you don't need to use natural gas. So this is a full replacement. Right there, you're seeing it. And in addition, if you're looking at, shipping or cost of storing fuel, whether the security aspects. So it's quite impressive, but it's tangible today, which is impressive. I mean, this is huge savings.
Yeah, and so without naming any names, like what type of response and feedback, like are you seeing resistance to trying this as a new model? Of course, there's always a few really forward-looking groups that are eager to adopt and stuff, but in general, across the industry, where do you think folks are?
We're thrilled that our mining members have stepped up to lead this and already started investing in LDES technologies and looking to actually deploy LDES, in 2024 on their sites. So this is going to be a great case model to really share lessons learned and push this forward. We're also seeing a lot of data centers and unique off-takers also push LDES forward. Maybe they might have a separate power purchase agreement, or maybe they have a microgrid setup. It's faster in some ways bring LDES on. Many LDES technologies can be built in a year, 2 years, and then we have PEMTIDRO that might take longer, but you also get different benefits. So it's also what geography do you have, what market interface do you have, and what are your local regulations. But we've been working with countries around the world really promoting the, in addition to renewable energy targets, you have to have long duration energy storage. And the targets and the financing and the public-private partnership is showing up in Australia, in Europe, Canada, United States, Chile, India, and parts of East Asia. So we're already seeing a huge transition that will help on the cost savings.
That's really cool. So can you name who your mining partners are?
Sure. Rio Tinto, SQM, and also South32.
Okay, very cool. And are they looking to use this technology then in certain geographies because they're a better fit for LDES, or how are they kind of looking at that?
Geographies, cost savings. I mean, being able to replace the, you know, the diesel fuel and just bringing in some more reliability to be able to address the fluctuation of peak demand. I mean, they might be peaking at different hours and when the excess solar comes in or excess wind. And so being able to capture either negative pricing or just be able to run reliable systems, having that firm dispatchability is key. So then you really can get that continuity of service. And I think that is also something that has become a huge topic of conversation in addition to security of resources.
Now, when you use that phrase, firmness of power, what does that mean?
So right now, today, when we want to turn our lights on, we want to make sure our lights are staying, you know, on 24/7. Well, with solar and wind, you don't maybe have the solar wind fueling your light source every, you know, hour of every minute, every day. But to address those fluctuations, that energy shifting, long-duration storage comes in and gives that buffering. It can be that flexibility you need to, you know, be able to capture the excess solar and wind, provide the savings because you're not curtailing, and then use it later to fill in those gaps. So long-duration storage can meet every hour of every day of every year because it can give you that flexibility over days, weeks, and seasons. So it replaces your base load.
Okay. Yeah. And on the flip side, you know, we met at a workshop focused on kind of battery technology developments and talking a little bit about the materials that will be required to supply it. So what do you see on that side? There's so many different types of battery technologies, which I certainly wasn't aware of. Like what do you think the mining industry needs to understand about what your industry is going to need in the future?
Right. No, it's great. I mean, the vanadium mines have really picked up, and vanadium is there's a lot of deployed vanadium electrochemical batteries. These are batteries that are, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, and you know, being able to stack and build more. There's leasing programs that have been made, but no, I think zinc mining, this is going to be huge. A lot of the zinc batteries are moving from 10 hour to 100 hour. So you know, also looking at the density, you know, the different types of setups, not just for the materials inside the flow batteries and the containers, but also materials outside. What are the structures look like? What kind of steel? You know, there's a lot of different aspects that are used for the infrastructure. Are there different types of clay? Are there different minerals that are needed for some of the thermal energy? With the electrochemical, there's a variety of different areas of how can we maximize the existing supply chain and kind of fill in where there might be gaps? So I think there's a lot of opportunity for the mining industry to, one, you know, provide the resources and minerals that are needed to build the different types of long-duration storage and to provide those essential components, and then also to then utilize them also to provide the 24/7 reliable service that they need.
Very cool. For your members and the parts of your group, like, are you getting the input that you want from the industry on these types of things, or could you use more?
We might get a lot of calls.
We could definitely use more. I mean, this is such
right.
How do we get involved? You know, partnering with you and partnering with the industry, it's critical. We've realized from the conversations at COP with the work that we're a part of with the Industrial Transition Accelerator, you know, how critical the mining industry is, you know, working in partnership with cement and steel and ports, you know, this whole infrastructure connective tissue has to have long duration storage in every piece. And so we want to really work with the mining industry to one, you know, can educate and just make everyone aware that this exists, that LDES is a solution and that it's available and that there's diverse solutions to meet diverse country needs and location needs. Different geographies might want different types of LDES for different setups. Some might be constrained because of land, or, you know, national preserves, and others might have a lot of expansive area that they can really kind of play, or even, you know, they have existing infrastructure, they have open mine pits where they want to do something with gravity. Like, there's so much flexibility that is that can bring to fruition cost savings and also just reliable services with LDES. So bringing awareness, knowing that markets exist, we're working to expand them. Different types of contracting exist that we can help assist with, and that there's a, you know, great way to amplify to other industries, showing mining industry being a leader in deployment for moving faster on decarbonization.
Yeah, in my mind, mining and exploration companies are always looking for creative financing structures and any ways to attract non-traditional capital, right? Like, convince people to invest. And I personally have never seen the mining company pitch LDES. I mean, again, like, it makes sense. Some of the larger companies are integrating it into existing operations, but I'd be super interested for a company to take a look at, you know, their economic feasibility study and, like, what happens if you integrate LDES from your planning from the very beginning, and, like, how does that change the financial, you know, picture of your project? I think I would really encourage folks that are listening to maybe reach out and find out how maybe they could play around with that and see how it impacts what they're doing.
That would be great to work with you and your colleagues more, because as you taught me, you know, in some areas, it's just a very, you know, small, you know, margin that you can use for, you know, income and flexibility. And so this can give some broader use and some more space to find ways to save and invest, and also to meet the ESG goals. The mining industry, you know, as fossil fuel industry are both, you know, more magnifying is happening. And so how can LDES really empower the mining industry to demonstrate ways to decarbonize but also meet ESG goals and targets?
Yeah, I mean, because I know a lot of groups, and you mentioned a thing like nickel in particular, like, I've talked to a bunch of nickel companies where they're, you know, there are all these cool things about how some of those deposits can act as carbon sinks. Like, I mean, folks are getting really creative on some of the technical aspects of, if you're mining metal is going to be used to decarbonize the planet, you want to decarbonize that activity as much as you can, right? Like, that's, otherwise you're working it against yourself. And I think this is something that would be really, really cool for folks to take a deeper look at.
We have companies that are being really creative with hydrogen partnerships too. So mining groups that are looking at already existing hydrogen infrastructure, how to use electrolyzers, the minerals that are there too. I mean, it's just like every piece has some type of mineral component that is really critical.
Yeah.
And, you know, also different ways of capturing carbon. We have some companies that are capturing carbon in domes or in blocks, and so also offsetting carbon in a different way and storing that energy. It's really impressive. But yes, the different flow batteries, the minerals there, and even the turbines used for mechanical, you know, that's kind of minerals that are needed. So it's, again, every piece of every industry is going to need long duration storage and interconnect with the mining industry, which is why these relationships are so important to us. You know, agriculture, chemicals,
right.
Transportation, buildings, all needs long duration storage if we're going to have, you know, targets of renewable energy at 60, 70, 80, 100%.
And going off of that, so you just came back from COP. First of all, can you explain what that is, just in case anybody isn't tracking? And then, like, what were some big takeaways? Because this will be our first episode of 2024, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of talk about what came out of that conference.
Yes, no, the Conference of Parties has been around for almost 30 years because this was COP 28. So it's the countries coming together globally, every country in the world coming to the table to discuss mitigating climate. And there's been studies, there's been conversations, and I think the biggest turning point that people point to are the Paris Accord, the notification of reaching the 1.5 degrees Celsius that happened a couple years ago. And what have countries been doing in the meantime? And this was the first time countries gave the global stocktake data on where they stood, and majority of the countries in the world are not meeting the targets. Mm-hmm. And so there was a urgency to the world coming together saying, you know, we're all experiencing these weather patterns, we're all experiencing some, you know, changes to our livelihoods, so how do we address this? And so the biggest takeaways for us that we were pushing for is the LDES Council is a founding member of the Global Renewables Alliance. So you have global wind, global solar, global hydropower, global geothermal, global green hydrogen, and global long-duration storage. The six of our global organizations came together to form this alliance where we could be more effective and efficient working together. We could work on planning. We could work on, you know, different types of PPA agreements and work on market infrastructure. So we realized, and all of our industrial members said, we've got to work together to really start owning the conversation, see what we can do and really help implement these targets and to make sure that our interests are also part of the policy conversation. So we worked on the tripling of renewables campaign and double down of energy efficiency. So that was our big push. And we were working with the UN, the EU, many other countries, Chile, the US, Australia, to really push this forward. So we got over 130 countries to sign up and be part of this pledge. So 11 terawatts of renewable energy by 2030. This is 6 years away. A lot of work to do.
And is that a lot?
There's no way that's going to work.
It's 11 terawatts.
Yes, it's 11,000. It's 11,000 gigawatts, okay. Which means 100,000 megawatts. So this is a big deal. And that's not even talking about like megawatt hours or gigawatt per hours, which is... So we're going to need that flexibility. We're going to need LDES. So getting that acknowledged in the UN language and having countries, you know, step up to say we're going to implement this pledge, that's a big, big deal. And we're thrilled to work with our industry partners of looking what that looks like. There also was a first of its kind industrial transition accelerator. And this is a 2-year commitment by 2030 to bring industry to the table to also show it our commitment. And Laundry Sharing Storage is there representing both Global Renewables Associate Alliance, but also the LDES community. And so we're bringing together this ecosystem of showing industrial voices, the mining sector, the equipment manufacturers, the different technology providers as a solution. And so we'll be part of those conversations. And then the last one, which also is I want to make sure the mining industry is really aware of, is this new clean energy ministerial kind of initiated pathway. It's a big kind of product of focusing on energy storage, and it's focusing on batteries, but all types of long-duration energy storage. And this is a really big deal to bring all different stakeholders to the table to start realizing what are the challenges and barriers to really implementing more long-duration, and how do we expedite this and address the urgency. So we'll be really pushing these global tracks at the same time working with a lot of the countries who are really leading the way of how to bring more LDES to the marketplace, provide the savings, and really start addressing the carbon decrease in the carbon abatement that we have.
Yeah, so like from an operational perspective, like what does that look like in order for y'all to hit your goals? Like what has to be built, what has to be changed? Like what, I mean, in kind of like real life terms, it sounds like a monumental shift.
It is. And we all, six of our organizations, worked on a initial roadmap to kind of show how we can coordinate and work this, you know, really trimming down the permitting and siting to really find some ways to collaborate. We've been working with global environmental organizations to help us to show that there are ways to be more effective and efficient. We've been working on policies, expanding market criteria so it could be more flexible to provide different types of incentives for long-duration energy stores. The fact that long-duration stores can provide black start capability, can provide load following, it can provide the inertia. It provides a lot of attributes that are not given it full credit today. So if those market attributes were changed, that would also really help financing and it just build on the bankability aspect. And then we've also been working with many of the development banks, so World Bank, the Africa, Asian, Latin American development banks. They've been putting together more financing for projects. So this is also something for the mining industry to look at. This is a huge part where both IRENA, the International Renewable Energy Association, and International Energy Administration have highlighted the critical role of mining and how to work on decarbonization together. And so we can help work with you on partnerships for financing to really start, address the urgency of decarbonization. So I think it's critical to have this coordination. It's going to be essential to really kind of work together on sharing case studies that work and don't work, and really push together on helping all the industries, because we have so much to scale and work on together that this coordination is going to be key.
Well, I'm really excited to follow along and see how it all goes. Sounds like next year is going to be a big one. And I know we were chatting before we pressed the record button about you're going to be at some mining conferences even this year.
Yes.
Maybe if folks are interested in learning more or want to reach out to the team, like should they just check out the website, or do you have any ways that you'd like them to reach out to you?
They can reach out to us. They can reach out to info@longdurationenergystorescouncil.com. So it's ldescouncil.com. Yeah. And then you can also ping us, more than happy to work with you, Emily, and have more conversations. This is so important. And the mining industry, again, is so critical to this transition. And the role of LDES can really empower the mining industry to really help on achieving these integral steps of savings and cost reductions and just decarbonization. So we look forward to this partnership and look forward to doing more maybe some webinars together just to highlight again the importance of how we get the rocks and minerals and how this all collaborating to expedite this.
Yeah, because I mean, to me also, it seems so logical, especially with some of the remote locations that mines are built in, that being able to bring in this infrastructure also to local communities, right? I mean, that's one of the biggest, most enduring legacies that a mining company can help establish even after the mine is built is like really high quality infrastructure, right? That helps generate so much other economic activity. And it really seems like it makes a lot of sense. And any mining company is looking to reduce operating costs, right? I mean, that goes directly to cost per ounce, cost per ton, which means, share price improvements, right? Typically, right? Anytime you can cut OPEX.
76% for this one Australian mine. It's a game changer. And to your point, which is really critical to really highlight the just and equitable transition that we're all working towards and really how to do this right. And we're having at the global level, but with all of our members, really, again, promoting how we can really have a just and equitable transition through these, upskilling and reskilling, retraining, but also just the community benefits you highlight. This is all part of the equation that we want to note that LDES can also help bring value.
Awesome. Well, our kind of question that we ask all of our guests is, and it'll be interesting to hear what you say from your perspective. If you could wave a magic wand and change one thing about the mining industry, what would you change overnight?
I would wave that wand and really kind of globally so that every single mine industry would have long duration energy storage deployed.
Right. I was like, it's got to be an answer, right? I would brag about him over the head with the wand. Yeah.
Kind of like,
get your act together. Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, we really look forward to working closely with you all and getting word out and getting some more folks involved, because I think this is just something, it makes so much sense from a financial structure, operational improvement, and decarbonization, which again, I think folks outside the mining industry don't really understand how much folks inside the industry really care about that, right? Like most folks get into mining and geology because they love to be outside of the environment. So the folks in the industry are really, really well aligned with all of your goals and objectives. So thanks for coming on and sharing it a little bit with our listeners.
Oh, thank you, Emily. Look forward to working with you in the industry. And again, thanks for this opportunity. Happy 2024. We have a lot of work to do, but we can do this together.
Happy New Year. Absolutely.